God has done for mankind, and it's kind of uplifting and reassuring that to see that He is involved in our lives and to see how we got to where we are now. You know, many people are unaware of some of the details of America's birth as a nation. A lot of people nowadays, including, you know, some miraculous events that reveal the God of the universe who was working behind the scenes. Nowadays, deliberate efforts are being made, you know, to eliminate any reference to God in American schools and media, and the supposed debunking of the Bible by the so-called smart people have resulted in people no longer being taught the true facts about the birth of the United States. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. You know, especially the incredible role that God's intervention played in the American Revolution. While scholars and liberal theologians may belittle the idea, the turn away from the Bible has taken away a vital perspective from the study of history that has and will have even more serious consequences. You know, Moses warned the ancient Israelites long ago, who had just been supernaturally delivered from Egypt by God through a series of powerful miracles. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, it says, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." And then years later, Joshua done the same thing. He reminded his generation of Israelites how God had fought their battle and established their nation in a promised land by halting the waters of the Jordan River, breaking down the walls of Jericho, raining hailstones on an enemy army. Also, many more accounts throughout the Bible where other nations also recognize that these events were the divine intervention of Israel's God. The prophet Isaiah warned the backsliding nation of Israel to remember the former things of old and how God had intervened on its behalf to accomplish His purpose. Isaiah 46. Get there in a second. Isaiah 46, starting in verse 8, says, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." Yet the so-called educated people claim these are only fables. Another lesson that our Israelite descendant societies have lost sight of is that God guides the course of history. He makes nations great. He can also destroy them. Turn over to Job 12. Job 12, and starting in verse 23, it says, "He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nation and guides them, takes away understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth, and makes them wander in a pathless wilderness. On over to Daniel 2. Verse 21, Daniel 2 says, "And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings, raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." So we're starting to get to see what's really going on, who's really in charge. So I want to look at some facts about America and the world that people have forgotten. Answer the question, you can answer it yourself here in a minute. Did God really intervene to guide the outcome of the American Revolution? What sort of evidence do we have that's not even mentioned today by most people? You know, George Washington played a leading role in the American Revolution and the nation's founding. His character and firm convictions were key factors in molding nature and the outlook for America. But the fact that he even lived to lead this great country at the beginning appears due to what was called then divine providence, which is the intervention of God in mankind's affairs for a purpose. In 1755, during the French and Indian War, George Washington was 23 and was a colonel. And he was one of 1,400 British troops under the command of General Braddock, marching to capture Fort Duquesne near Pittsburgh when they were attacked by the French and Indians. Now, during the battle, General Braddock was killed, and every officer on horseback was shot except Washington. Now, but Colonel Washington later wrote to his brother and said, "But by the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation. For I had 4 bullets through my coat and 2 horses shot under me, yet escaped unhurt. Although death was leveling my companions on every side." And a Native American who fought in the same battle later stated that Washington was never born to be killed by a bullet. "I had 17 fires at him with my rifle, and after all, could not bring him to the ground." Years later, during the spring of 1776, with the British in control of Boston, Washington ordered cannons brought through the snow from Fort Ticonderoga, which is 300 miles away, to fortify Dorchester Heights, overlooking Boston Harbor. Now, the British general, seeing this danger, General Howe, ordered an amphibious assault on the American position. But the night before the assault was to begin, a southeaster of gale proportions hit the Boston area and disrupted Howe's plans. So he called off the attack on the American position due to the badness of the weather. And as a result of the sudden storm and the strength of the American position that was controlling the movement in and out of Boston Harbor, General Howe ordered the British troops to evacuate Boston. So another letter to his brother, he said, "This remarkable interposition of Providence is for some wise purpose. I have not a doubt." In the summer of 1776, General Howe again had a British force of more than 400 ships, 32,000 troops stationed on Staten Island in New York Harbor, around Staten Island. George Washington had gathered about 8,000 American troops to Brooklyn Heights on the western edge of Long Island. And the British were able to land about 15,000 of those troops in behind General Washington's lines and inflict heavy losses on the Americans. who were surrounded on Brooklyn Heights with their backs to the East River. The weather again proved to be a deciding factor. Strong winds, an ebbing tide pushing the water back, and constant rain kept the British from further attacks on the American position and from moving their warships into the East River to cut off the escape route. So General Washington ordered a nighttime evacuation of Long Island. And that evening, about 11 o'clock, when the wind died down, a thick fog enveloped the position that hid the American evacuation. And when the fog had lifted later the next morning, the British were surprised to find that the American soldiers were nowhere to be found. Now, the outcome of this battle has been described as so astonishing that many, including General Washington, has attributed the safe retreat of the American army to the hand of God. He said, if the wind, rain, and fog had not intervened for the Americans, they would have been captured, and Washington would have been hanged, and the Revolution would have come to an early end. I'm sure a lot of you have seen the movie The Patriot, and so this is the story of it. It was in 1781. American General Daniel Morgan defeated an advancing British force under General Cornwallis at the Battle of Cowpens in South Carolina. And it's been called a tactical masterpiece and the turning point of the war. But after this battle, Morgan retreated north and being chased by the British. Cornwallis reached the Catawba River only hours after the Americans had got there. But what happened? A sudden storm made the river impassable. And the British again nearly overtook the Americans at the Yadkin River. But again, what happened? Rains flooded the river, slowing the British. And another time, flash flood blocked the British at the Dan River, allowing the Americans to cross into friendly territory in Virginia. One of the British generals, General Henry Clinton, described these events. Here the Royal Army was again stopped by the sudden rise of the water, which had only just fallen or went down and let the Americans across. But when they got there, it was a flood again. George Washington again said, we have abundant reasons to thank Providence for its many favorable impositions in our behalf. It has at times been my only dependence, for all other resources seem to have failed us. You know, the following battles of the Revolutionary War were also influenced a lot by weather. In October 1781, an engagement between the French and British fleets in the Atlantic that were prolonged by shifting winds allowed another squadron of French ships with troops and supplies to slip into Chesapeake Bay, preventing the British supply ships from reaching Cornwallis, who was surrounded by 17,000 French and American troops at Yorktown. So facing these odds, General Cornwallis attempted one of George Washington's moves and attempted a nighttime crossing or breakout by starting to ferry his regular troops across the York River. The first group made it safely. However, the second group, a sudden and severe rainfall blew the second contingent of soldiers downriver, leaving Cornwallis with a much reduced force. This sudden adverse turn of weather had completely disrupted the attempted breakout. And as a British colonel commented, thus expired the last hope of the British Army. and Cornwallis surrendered the next day. The American victory at Yorktown has been called one of the most influential battles in history, as it had ended an 8-year struggle for independence that launched America on a path to becoming a world power, and it was aided by sudden and dramatic changes in the weather. After the Battle of Yorktown, Yale President Ezra Stiles wrote, "Who but God could have ordained the critical arrival of the Gallic French fleet so as to assist in the siege of Yorktown?" And later, George Washington wrote, "It will not be believed that such a force as Great Britain has employed for 8 years in this country could be baffled in their plan of subjugating it. The singular interpositions of Providence in our feeble condition were such as could scarcely escape the attention of the most unobservant. While the perseverance of the armies of the United States through almost every possible suffering and discouragement for the space of 8 long years was little short of a standing miracle. Yet, nowadays, the role of divine intervention is seldom mentioned today. You know, people during that time, it was the consensus after the Revolutionary War that God had blessed America for their effort in independence, and that the hand of God had intervened again and again to guide events in this critical time. But people don't want to talk about that today. Even Ben Franklin in 1787, he was 81, urged the Continental Congress to begin their daily deliberations with prayer, he commented. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men, as the Bible states in several places." Modern Americans and citizens of all around the world have forgotten this important lesson of history that's been revealed in the scriptures, as we read earlier. You know, the Bible reveals that failure to pass on the true facts of history and the willingness of leaders to ignore important lessons of history will have serious consequences for America and other nations in the world. You know, the words of the prophets ring out through time, don't they? Turn over to Jeremiah 18. In Jeremiah 18, in verse 15, it says, "Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to worthless idols, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient past, to walk in pathways and not on a highway, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and shake his head. And I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. But won't it be a glorious day when all of mankind realizes who's really in charge?"